Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Tonight, our guest is Lisa Donatella. She speaks internationally to audiences about what inspires and motivates us, causes us stress, and about ways to identify, release, balance, and heal as we vibrate higher toward the state she calls being love. Her friends crowned her the original Eat, Pray, Love girl, with her spiritual experiences taking her around the world as she trekked through the Amazon, climbed atop Machu Picchu, danced on the Great Wall, and joined shamans in Ayahuasca ceremonies. Her spiritual awakenings over the past decades delight audiences and make their way into her novels, spiritual, and self-help books. She's a Reiki master, certified in coaching and EFT, and is practiced in bioenergy, anapana and vipassana, meditation, and cognitive behavioral therapy. Her corporate background includes years in consultancy, managing mergers and acquisitions technology projects for mega corporations, and her latest book is The State of Being Love, Steps to Raise Your Vibration for a Joy-Filled Life, which is available on Amazon and I presume through your website. Is that correct, Lisa?
Yes, it is. Thanks, David.
Oh, you're welcome. Lost you for a minute there. Well, how are you doing tonight, Lisa?
Oh, just wonderful. Hoping all your listeners have had a very happy holiday.
I hope so, too. We had a wonderful Christmas Eve show, and this is our first show since then. We didn't do one on Christmas Day, so this is a great way to continue through the holidays to talk about what inspires and motivates people. And I'd love to hear what inspires and motivates you and hear a little bit about your own spiritual journey before we get into some other things.
Absolutely. Well, gosh, I'm inspired by a lot these days. You know, when you get to this state, really, it's every moment is so delicious. It's hard to put into words because words just don't do it justice. You know, but when I wake up in the morning, one of my main thoughts after I enjoy the deliciousness of the, you know, of the warm bed and the sheets, because we've got snow all over the ground here by Lake Tahoe. We've gotten several feet of snow in the past couple of weeks, so good for the water table. But I always think, well, who can I help today? I mean, and that's really what motivates me to move forward is the opportunity to share through something I've written, you know, whether it be on one of the social media sites, one of the books. Or even talking to folks like yourself, how am I making a difference in someone else's life? How am I making their life better so that they can experience a little bit of what I experience on a daily basis? You know, that's what kind of does it for me. That's what inspires me.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Somebody was just telling me today that, you know, one of the people they admired most was Ben Franklin. And that what he always said when he got up in the morning to himself was, what can I do to help today, and the last thing he said before he went to bed was, what have I done to help others today? So it sounds like you resonate with Ben Franklin.
I guess that I'm in a good company. I didn't know that. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I didn't either. Oh, that a little bit of synchronicity. I'd love to hear a little bit about your spiritual journey, and then I'd love to talk about your book, your latest book.
Okay. How far back do you want me to go?
You can start wherever you want. One of the things that we really enjoy doing on this show is talking about people's life experiences, especially their spiritual journeys. And I was really excited to hear from you because you sounded like the perfect guest for the show. So start wherever you'd like. This is your show.
Well, and just to give you, you know, I'm going to go, I might go way back, but just to give you a summary. So I've been, I don't know, I never quite felt as I was part of the norm, experiencing things that have been out of the ordinary since I'm about four. I call it connecting to universal information, and I was getting this information. Although back then I used to call it the little man who sits in the back of my mouth. I guess everybody has an imaginary friend, but my friend was telling me things that there was no way I could have known. But I just said, I just know it now as universal information, that connection to that, the higher source, I don't care what name you use for it. And it was just sharing. I was really, again, getting information about a little bit more than the typical six-year-old or five-year-old or four-year-old. You know, and it's really, it really sparked something in me to make me want to know more about everything. You know, I was the kid that was excited at school. I was the child that asked questions. I wasn't afraid to push the boundaries and think outside the box. And one of the first, I would say, spiritual experiences that I had, maybe it was at Machu Picchu. Well, before Machu Picchu, I was studying different kinds of modalities. When I was in Washington, D.C., I was working corporate back then, and I'm sitting at an opera appreciation class, and I'm sitting there listening to this beautiful recording of the late, great Maria Callas. And Oh, the coloratura soprano with that beautiful voice of hers. And my left arm started to go numb. And I was in my late 20s, early 30s, and I was like, oh, what's going on here? And I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm young. I'm having a heart attack or something. I didn't know what it was. And then it was a feeling that took, but it wasn't painful. And I was like, okay, this doesn't hurt. So it went up my left arm, across my chest, and then it went down my right arm. And I thought, okay, I don't think that's the way a heart attack works. And then it went through my body, and I felt it everywhere. And it was this tingling feeling, and I thought, what is this? And I think it was that point, at that point, my when they talk about a kundalini opening, that was something that happened to me at that point. And I went home that night, and I was looking at my hands in the dark, and they were glowing. And I thought,
oh,
isn't this interesting? And I, you know, and I'm a math and science, you know, my first undergrad was in applied mathematics. So I'm sitting there looking at it, and in between my fingers, I can only liken it to cilia, you know, those little hair-like structures like that are in different organs, maybe the intestines or whatever, that push food down or through. And I'm like, what is this? And so there was this gentleman that I was friends with at work, a programmer, a computer programmer. And I said, oh, he'll know. He's weird like that. He'll know what this is. And sure enough, I had worked with him for a couple of years, and he said to me, finally, he goes, oh, my gosh, finally, You have no idea what I've been watching and all the energy you're pushing and the potential that you have, and you haven't figured it out yet. So it was at that point when I think that was my first, I would consider my first significant experience. And I've had some pretty interesting ones since that are that make this one look pretty tame since then. But that was back in, was it the early 90s? So that was an interesting experience on my journey. And at that point, then I was like, you know, talk about a thirst for knowledge. I wanted to know everything about energy, everything I could possibly figure out. And that led me to places like Abidjania, Brazil, with John of God, because it is a spiritual place, but it's also a place for consciousness, increases of consciousness, people getting healed. But for me, it was also a place of great energy. You know, I always had a scientific sort of approach to spirituality, science and math being my background. And down there, how much time do you have on your show?
We have as long as it takes.
Yeah. There was one instance, there's a couple of instances I remember with fondness, one being I was volunteering and running the volunteers down there because I go down there every couple of years for a few months, and for the last decade or so, and I am allowed to go to this waterfall back then by myself, and this was in like 2003, I think, and of course you're not supposed to do that without special permission. And I'm down there by myself, and to shorten the story up, just so that your audience doesn't get a little bored here, but here I am, and I am in such I'm in such a state of grace and gratitude that I see this butterfly, this single butterfly on like the handrail, and it was a weird, it was like an Elvis painting, that black velvet with a stripe, a single stripe of like creamsicle orange and a single stripe of like lime green, and it's watching me, you know, it's just hanging out there, and I'm so grateful. I'm making up a song, and I have a fairly good voice, so nobody would have been offended, and I'm singing this beautiful song of gratitude to John of God, to the Casa, to these beautiful entities and energies there, and then I start singing to the butterfly, and I get cleanse myself in the waterfall, and I go and put my flip flops back down, and I put my foot in the flip flop as I'm singing, and I look up, and that one butterfly has now some friends, about I don't know, several hundred pairs of them now, all going and flying in a circle in this small area, and I was speechless, which, if people that know me, that doesn't happen very often. And so I'm just blown away by this, and I'm like, what is this? And, of course, that made me sing even louder as I skipped back up to the place I was staying to go tell someone, because I was like, nobody's going to believe this, but I have to just tell somebody about this. There's no pictures down there. It's a sacred site. But that was one of the interesting things that's happened to me while I was there, besides the fact that my sight, I had a corneal disease and some issues with sight that have been corrected. For readers that don't know what keratoconus is, it's a corneal disease, which I no longer have. And my sight went from not 0.9 point something on the correction down to 2 point something on both eyes. So that's also pretty amazing. Yeah. I think the more you wake up and the more you're looking, willing to look at yourself, the better you can clearly see.
I like that.
I know. Yeah.
I like that. And it sounds like it opens the channels for healing too.
Absolutely. I think that what you believe, you create. And with the state of being love, when you realize that there's only one thing you really have control over in your life, and that's how you react, then it makes things a lot easier. You know, I think that you would normally that would normally get to you, they really lose their, I don't know, their meaning in a way. You know, I mean, if somebody's going to cut you off on the freeway, I just smile and bless them on their merry way.
It's for a lot of people. So many people are so invested in their ego states that they tend to react. And what you're talking about sounds like detaching with love and going to your spirit place instead of coming from your ego place.
You're exactly right. What I found is, once you realize that it doesn't matter, none of what people do to you is about you at all.
Mm.
It's always about where they're at, you know. And I experience every experience is truly a gift, even though while we're going through some of the ones that we view as unpleasant, we don't think of it as a gift. But I've had too many examples of situations where I have had an experience that I didn't deem as pleasant, and yet it was one of the better experiences of my life. It was because of that experience that I took this giant leap forward and steered my life into a new my life went into a new direction.
Sounds like transformation to me.
And you know what? I think that might have happened to me a few times in the last few decades.
I can relate.
And I think it's a good thing. You can relate to that.
It's beautiful when you can turn a dark cloud into a silver lining and see the hidden blessing that opens new doors for you.
Well, the good thing about that, too, is even if you're involved with someone who's let's call it the perpetrator of an unpleasant experience, when you can truly think back about that on that person, and I've had this happen where there's absolutely no animosity, there's no anger, there's nothing except for almost as close to gratitude as you can get for somebody who's played the abuser role and blessed the situation, because they were just acting their role so that you could transform, you know, and you have to love that about it, you know. Obviously they're oblivious to this, but when you get to that state, you realize things and the world looks different and the world becomes different. That's the beauty of it. I mean, smells become more intense. I can't tell you what a bakery item smells to me because it's like a little foodgasm, you know. Sights, you know, colors are more vibrant. All the colors pop. Touch is the most delicious thing. Touch is so underrated. You know, you want to just touch everything because it's when your hands and your fingers and your arms when you touch something, the sensations are so intense. It's like every little fingertip is doing the little happy dance.
Well, you talk about vibrating at a higher level, and I wonder what role gratitude plays in that for you.
Mm. Well, I think that when you get to this state, you're grateful for every moment. So it plays a big role. There are four. You're either in my book, you're either vibrating love or you're vibrating something else.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I get a lot of people who live in today. They're just unhappy. They're living in what I call in misery. You know, they're stuck in those lower vibrations of anger and arrogance. We talked about ego. Judgment is big. Shame, guilt. Now, guilt and obligation. there also, guilt and shame are probably two of the worst emotions to live in, because it's David Hawkins had said, put them on a scale at the lowest vibrations. On a scale to 1,000, they would be vibrating, I think, at a 20. I'm not into the numbers because, you know, everybody's got, you know, I'm vibrating at this number. Let's not go there. You're either in a state of being love or you're doing something else. But, I mean, if you can tell by my name, I grew up in an Italian household. So I can be, I can so relate to the art of the perfectly placed guilt trip, because I mean, I had an Italian mother. I loved her dearly, but, you know, it was as abundant as the pasta meal on Sundays, you know, because that was the culture. And, you know, I was a sensitive kid, so I had to come up with a way to understand that. And finally, if she did not do that, I would not be able to say, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to do what I want. You know, I'm going to do it when I want, and I only do what pleases me. There's no reason for me to do something that I'm not going to feel good about doing. And, you know, it took a while, obviously, to get there. But, and it's not like I disrespect things. I always make a joke in the book, and I say, it's not like I'm wearing a bikini, walking into a church, singing Madonna's Like a Virgin or anything. I'm not doing that. But, you know, but I'm definitely happier and vibrating higher as a result. If somebody tries to guilt me into something, I just say, I don't do guilt, but thank you. I appreciate it. As far as I'm concerned, it's a ticket to the free ride I choose not to accept. But people live in that. You know, they live in that fear, and they're only doing, you know, they have low self-esteem and low self-worth. And so in the book, I mean, I'm very honest about helping people move forward by telling them some of the idiotic things that I've done over the years and some of the heart-wrenching stories and experiences I've had. And I had to think about that carefully before putting them putting them in print. But if it helps just one person find balance and center, then it was worth it.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about your book. For those that are just tuning in, this is Lisa Donatella, and her most recent book is called The State of Being Love, and it's subtitled Steps to Raise Your Vibration for a Joy-Filled Life. And we do have some callers on the line, just to let you know. So I would love to hear what some of those steps are.
Well, okay, so the vibrations you want, the emotions that you want to be in when you're in the state of being love, I'm going to lump into, let's say, three main emotions. You've got the peace, bliss, joy, and happiness. Let's make that one big emotion. Everybody knows what that feels like. You can throw gratitude in it if you'd like. That's fine, you know. But that, you know, everybody knows what that delicious feeling is. And then you've got two main other ones I call unconditional love and compassion. Now, when I talk about compassion, I talk about people. So it took me a long time to realize that some of the people that we interact with were just mere mirrors reflecting back to us what we need to experience or to practice. Like I talked to you, right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I believe we're all mirrors to each other.
Absolutely. And so perhaps, you know, we meet these people to find these common connections, work together to help resolve emotional issues, you know. I call them opportunities for positive growth and learning within each other. And knowing that we only have control over our own reaction to these people's action and have no control over the outcome of the interaction, it's paramount to keep that perspective, and that's how you can stay at a higher vibration. So devise something, and I talk to audiences around the world about how to have compassion for everyone, even when they might be screaming and yelling at you or doing something to you that you would consider to be unpleasant. I'm not saying you should be a doormat, but imagine them as a seven-year-old doing their math homework. You know, this is an. I was at a friend's house watching their youngster years back while she and her husband went out on date night. And the youngster was very frustrated over his mathematics homework, and he was acting out. Now, I have my first undergrad was in applied mathematics, so it's not like I don't understand math. But would I react, first of all, to the temper tantrum of a seven-year-old that I was babysitting? Of course not. Now, would I do their homework for them? Because I know I can. No, because everyone has to do their own homework.
Right.
Would I feel superior to him because I have more knowledge and experience? No, he's a kid. And in this example, would I try to explain higher math to this youngster? I mean, I could probably explain advanced algorithms and regression analysis. Who knows? Of course not. He's not going to get it. He's just not going to understand it. So How do I help this young guy do his math homework, is show him compassion, and if I'm able to provide him with some small guidance, you know, to help lead him to the answers. So If you use this example in everyday life, if someone's coming at you and throwing, you know, their arms up the air, having a temper tantrum, so to speak, or treating you with other than this love vibration, know it's not you. Know it that they're vibrating, that's something else. And one, you're not going to get frustrated with them. You're not going to do their homework for them. You're not going to feel superior because there is no superiority. That's the ego speaking. You're not going to try to explain this to them because they're not there yet. They're not going to get it.
Right.
Have compassion for them and try to give them as much guidance as you can, but let them, you know, that lead them to the answers, but let them do their own homework. So that's compassion, and that's what, by staying in that state, you'll never get upset with anyone, ever. Because no matter what they're trying to do, it's never about you, and you can kind of remove yourself from that, and because you're not giving in any energy, it's not going to go anywhere.
Now, did you say you align that compassion with unconditional love?
No, that's unconditional love is the last emotion. I guess it's all aligned to the state of being love. You want to be in that blissful state. You want to have compassion, and then you want to love unconditionally every situation, even the ones that seem unpleasant, regardless of what you perceive the outcome to be, believing that something amazing will come of it. And so I have a perfect example I could share if you're interested.
I would be interested.
Okay. So I'm coming back from Brazil. I love this example because it's still, when I think about it, I get blown away. I'm coming back from Brazil, and I had, from my corporate life, I had enough airline miles for a free ticket to come back. And the only thing is I had to go from Brazil up to Toronto down to Phoenix. I was living in Arizona at the time. And I get on the plane, which seems pretty full, an Air Canada flight, and I get back to my seat in coach, and there's someone sitting in my chair, in my seat. And I thought to myself, okay, it can't be in my seat. This is Air Canada. This is this is 2014. The computers don't make mistakes. So I asked the gentleman, I said, I think you're in my seat, sir. And he goes, no. And he showed me his boarding pass, and sure enough, we had the same seat. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And so I walked back up towards, and I found the first flight attendant, and I told her what had happened. She went and she got my boarding pass, and she went back to the seat, and she got the gentleman's, and she looked at it, and then she brought them both up to, and she asked me to follow her to the front of the plane. Okay. So I go to the front of the plane, and she's talking to the head flight attendant, who comes over to me, and she says, ma'am, this is a really full flight. We're going to have to escort you back to the gate. And we will. And I touched her arm, and I just, with compassion, because it's out of her control, it's out of my control, I said, oh, it's okay. I know these things happen. And so they walked me back to the gate. Now, I'm watching the rest of the plane board, and I'm thinking to myself, because I had to be, you know, I had to be someplace in a few days, and I thought, I could get frustrated, I could get upset, I could get angry and snippy or whatever. But instead, I'm just going to think about, I've been in Brazil for four or five, you know, for several months, so I'm just going to think about the juicy cheeseburger that I'm going to have when I get back to the States at the local diner. I want a real American cheeseburger with steak fries. And that's what I thought about. In intricate detail, I'm thinking to myself about this meal instead of allowing myself to get frustrated and upset. And I kept saying, I'm sure something wonderful will happen. I'm sure something wonderful will happen. And so the desk clerk agent had my boarding pass, and the announcement came, and I went up, and I didn't even look at the seat, because I'm like, even if I'm in a middle seat, I don't care, I'm on the plane. And as I got up to the door, I glanced down, and the seat number was 1A.
Oh.
So, and it wasn't just any first class day. It was something called a pod, which is this elaborate roomette kind of situation that they have on planes that go like to, you know, like Air Emirates has these things. They're amazing. And I'm going, and I looked it up later. It was a $5,000 ticket. And I thought, wow, I need a good royal upgrade. And of course, I'm incredibly grateful. And I thought, wow, it can't get better than this. But it's amazing what you say. You know, be careful what you say. So here I am on this flight, and I am so grateful. I'm almost in tears and just enjoying this. And of course, the food and the service. And I'm sharing some of my experiences with the volunteering I had done down at John of God with the flight crew. And you know, and I'm trying to. At that point, I was, you know, I had written a book about John, so I was in the midst of doing that while I was on the flight and meditating and etc. And the next morning before we landed, they had to dump all their food and champagne, the $80 bottle of champagne. And they invited me to the front cabin, and I said, oh, okay. And I said, well, they're not going to throw me off the plane. So they said, we would like to do something for you. And I said, oh, I think you guys have done enough, but thank you. And they said, no. And they asked me to put my hands over the grate. They poured champagne on my hands, gave me some sugar packets, asked me to rub them in and then rinse them, and gave me an $80 bottle champagne sugar scrub at 35,000 feet.
Wow.
That's what happens when you stay in that vibration. There's some other side benefits, but when you stay in that vibration, it's as if your world is different. And another interesting thing, because I believe that you vibrate, I don't know, maybe your cells are vibrating faster, but you start looking younger. So it's like free Botox to me.
Well, that's, I am. I'm just taking it in. It's a wonderful story. I think that for a lot of people, it's a real challenge to stay in that place. And I'm wondering if you have any tips for helping people to continue to align themselves with the next best feeling that they can do so.
Well, I think that part of the that's, I don't even want to call it the trick, the process is, if you can get there 5 minutes a day, you're better off than 90% of the population right now, because people are so stuck in the negativity and wearing that misery like a tattered old blanket wrapped around them. You know, I did have a fellow that he said to me, you know, keeping that state up is very difficult. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah. I said, oh. I said, so let me just see if I understand this. I said, waking up feeling awful, dragging yourself out of bed, hating your job, hating your life, and thinking about who said what to you that made you feel bad yesterday, complaining about your day, get ready to rip someone's head off in your daily commute is harder than waking up, easing into the morning by taking 5 minutes to just be, staying there present, appreciating the little, you know, that first sip of that caramel macchiato. Oh, my God, what a deliciousness it is. Thinking about nothing but what's in, what you have to do that moment, singing and going about your day, greeting people, that's harder, really.
Mm.
You know, getting to the state isn't, I mean, it's getting to the state of being love isn't going to come down and swat you in the behind. I'll tell you that. But it is a choice. And, you know, instead of wrapping yourself up in your own unhappiness because it's comfortable, you know, my experience has been that these fear-based emotions will just keep you from wanting to move away from that misery. You know, you have mm-hmm. to want to release those fear-based emotions. You have to want to take at least a few minutes of the day. If you start it as soon as you wake up, instead of going, oh, my God, I got to get out of bed, you know, instead of doing that, just go, oh, look, oh, my feet feel great in this underneath the covers. It's nice and warm and toasty while it's snowing outside. And just take that first few moments. Yeah, hit the snooze button for 5 minutes. What's the big deal? You know, set your alarm 5 minutes earlier then. And then as you get out of bed and say, oh, I wonder what I want to drink this morning. Do I want coffee or tea? Do I want a caramel macchiato or a regular or a hazelnut latte, whatever your brand of morning brew is, you know? And then appreciate that first sip. And I guarantee that those moments will become more and more and more as long as you stay present and an appreciation of that and that gratitude, like you just said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
My father would say, my father's famous words and counsel to me, one of my greatest heroes, he used to say, it's a piece of cake. You know, don't think you have to be, you know, have to have 24 hours of bliss to have a happy life. Start with little bits, and then all of a sudden the little bits become bigger and bigger, and share your love with other people. I can't tell you how many strangers I've sat down and had a cup of coffee with that I just met in the grocery store, especially our seniors. They don't talk. They may not talk to anybody for a week. You know, it's nice to appreciate other people and connect. When
yes,
I'm online,
it is.
I let people get in front of me. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I always have something nice
good.
To say.
Yeah. When you do something like that for somebody else, it makes you feel good.
Exactly. Charity, that kind of compassion and charity does raise your vibration because
yeah.
you get a glimpse of what it feels like. People can get to states using different substances and tools. They're all tools, okay? The book is, these are all tools. They show you how to get there, and then so that you know how to get there on your own. You don't need a person. I'm not here to be everyone's guru. You know, you don't have to follow me. I'm here to give you the tools so that you can do it on your own. You know.
Well, what you said.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, that's all right.
I mean, it's nice to be liked, but you know, that's about the size of it. I don't need everybody to follow me like the next
right.
Gandhi or something.
Well, you know, there are a lot of things that you've said that I really have enjoyed. I especially like what you talked about, appreciating the moment and appreciating the little pleasures. And you also used the word choice, and I think it's important for us to remember that we have a choice each step of the way. And we can choose something that comes from a place of love or the fear-based side of things, as you say. I mean, Anthony DeMello, who's one of my favorite spiritual authors, talked about there just being two states, love and fear. And anything that's not love comes from fear. So the choice is really very simple if you can see it in those terms. And it seems to me that a lot of spiritual steps actually are very simple if we can reduce them to the least common denominator. Because as humans, at least in the ego state, we tend to complicate things. What do you think about that?
I definitely think that the author, and I apologize for not knowing who that is, and I are on the same page. And I definitely think that ego, and there's a few people in a few different practices that talk about ego. They call it the guard at the gate. They call it Saint Michael keeping, you know, with his fiery sword, keeping us from getting into the gates of Eden. But ego, you know, was originally, you know, part of us. It's a healthy thing.
Yes.
So that it kept us alive, you know, fight or flight, you know.
Right.
But everything becomes fight or flight today, you know, and we're all always, you know, we define ourselves by what we do for a living or the car that we drive, you know. And I mean, again, I was a vice president of a very large corporation. I understand what it feels like to have a nice title and a nice car and a nice house, but I'm much happier now with less than I was when I had everything.
Mm.
I have much less, I'm not saying I don't have no ego, but I have much less ego. And when I see somebody who's stuck in ego, I only have compassion for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shedding the ego, I mean, you still need a little, such a thing as a healthy ego. But an overinflated ego or defining yourself by something external, you're just not there yet. Everything that you want, we're an island. If you can't find it within you, it ain't there.
Yeah. Well, it's true. We as humans tend to look towards people, places, and things to fill ourselves up. And as you said, it's nothing external that does the job. It's an inside job, and it calls for spirit and love. And we do have callers. Would you like to take some calls?
Sure. I'm very excited. I'm allowed to tell you I'm a little nervous, too, but yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Oh, you're doing great. No problem. Okay, let's see. I'm going to identify them by area code. We have area code 818. You're live on the air. What is your name, please?
Enchantress.
Enchantress, how are you tonight?
I'm fine. I'm from California. Some of the things you're saying I can totally resonate to. My vibrations can be so high, I draw everyone towards me.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is, like, are you aware of other people's intentions with this, you know, even though you're in that high, you're in that state?
Yes, but it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what their intention is. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Are you worried about getting hurt by these people?
When I'm with them, I experience life, and I don't know about their intentions until after the relationship is over with, and I do fall for people that I fall for their masks sometimes. I'm learning now to listen to my intuition more,
okay.
But
mm-hmm.
I was just curious if you draw others towards you that, if you can relate to this in your past, have you drawn people towards
yes.
you that were fake and because they were entertaining or they just could read your mind and body and even my heartbeat rhythm?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it's interesting because I did live in Sedona, which is the beautiful place of spiritualism.
Mm-hmm.
But for every beautiful soul, there's also a charlatan ready to take your money. I've written articles about that, but, you know, because people are flocking there for spiritual answers and enlightenment, and, of course, wherever there's great higher vibrations, it does attract people that are, you know, can be notorious. And I've had something done to me while I was living there in the same kind of mode, I think, that you're talking about with the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 3 or 4 month relationship with a fellow, and I finally got away, realizing the true nature. And it really, it did a number on me initially, and then I just threw my hands up in the air and I said, I just said, hey, I don't know what this was about, but I'm sure something amazing is going to come of it. And I, you know, this was at a point where I just said, throw my hands up in the air and just said, I give up. I don't know what this is about. And the next morning, I started to write, and I couldn't stop writing. And by the end of a week, I had 160,000 words in my first book.
Wow.
So
that's
even
interesting
though,
you said that.
Yeah, even though the person played the, and I talk about this in The State of Being Love, even though the person played the role of abuser, and he did a fabulous job doing that, by the way.
Uh-huh.
I have nothing but forgiveness, and I have no, as I said, no ill feelings. Because if it wasn't for him, I would have never written my first book. I had been writing a blog for a couple of 3 years, but I've never written a book before then. Thankfully so. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be an author talking to you right now.
Why did I not know this? I can totally. Was he a spiritual vampire? If you understand that, in some form.
He was definitely a gaslighter. He was definitely a gaslighter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he looked that one up. Sure, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's...
But again, it doesn't matter. The universe,
mm-hmm.
or you know, the agreement that we have with other spiritual beings, again, like David says, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. The agreement that we have, you know, these people come into our sphere when we're ready to take that giant leap forward. You know, does it make me any of a less trusting person? No. Do I have a little bit more discernment? Yes, but I'm still a sentimentalist. What could I say?
So your trust, you didn't lose your trust?
Absolutely not. No.
Well, then you're very centered in, see, I lost my trust because of this individual, and because I fell for, I thought he was someone else, and I didn't, but what came out of it was my intuition, and with my ex-husband, the same thing, gaslighting, yes, I was with a sociopath, and so after that, the next person. But from these experiences, it was like the universe saying, okay, listen, why were you in these situations? You didn't use your intuition. Or, you know, you got something out of it. I wouldn't be talking to you if it wasn't for him. He opened all my chakras and things like that. And I'm getting my trust back now. But the writing, oh my gosh. And the thing is, do you project in your dreams what's going to happen to you?
I kind of live more in... I just live moment to moment these days. So I know what you're talking about, but these days it's just all I'm focusing on right now. I'm focused on talking to you. You know, I'm having a nice cup of tea. You know, I mean, and I don't look really much further than what I need to do that day. And I don't, I'm not really projecting. I just am, because I know that from each moment to the next, my reality can change in an instant.
Yes.
And I change in an instant.
Your vibrations change
that,
with every person you meet. Uh-huh. I predict things that are going to happen. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to over-talk you. That's
a bad
thing I do.
Go ahead, Dawn.
Okay. I didn't realize it that in this writing, that as I'm looking at it, I predict what was going to happen in each situation. Well, my ex, no, not really. But the other person, yes. It just didn't come out exactly what I that way, but it's in our dreams. It's I have a moving mind, and I can manifest from what I'm dreaming about. So I was just wondering if that happens to you too, and then that's why these people come towards you. But you
it's
said you live
the,
in the
it's
moment.
Not exactly the way that I do it. No,
mm-hmm.
I mean, although you can change. You know, as I said, you have control to change your reality in an instant. I mean, I've seen some instantaneous healings when I was down at John of God. I've seen some pretty interesting things just come to be within, again, a very short time. You know, they talk about laws of attracting this and that. I think it comes from a vibration and a feeling.
Yes, definitely.
So, you know that whatever situation you're in, you really can have a say in changing it once you make the choice to change within yourself.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing before I go. I was in a market and a person came up to me and he said something to me about that person was at what you just said a few minutes ago. That person that was a different place than I was. Just what you vibrate into the universe, it will come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let that person, whatever you experience with that one, harm you in any way. Just keep vibrating the way you are. And
you're
so
just
I think
it
that's
much power. You don't need to
mm-hmm.
give anybody that power.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about when somebody's doing something to you again, it's about them. It's not about you.
Yes.
So let them do their little dance. You
mm-hmm.
glean from it experience as a gift, and you say, thank you so much for the gift of understanding what I don't want.
Yes.
And helping me move forward as I learn more discernment or more this or more that. You know?
Is it each interesting to write it? Living it is another story. You got it together where you write it and live it. So
I lived it before I could write about it, but yes. And we've all had things that have happened to us. Every single one of us. You know, I mean, my story's worse than it doesn't matter. Everybody has things that they've gone through.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's because we're all different and we're all unique, and nobody's story is any worse or any better. I don't believe in that. I mean, I just believe you get the challenges when you're ready, and just to help you get to that. Remember that we're just beings of love.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Well, you're totally awakening to what's going on, and I understand. I resonate to you, and I thank you for letting me talk to you about that. I was just curious if you did have a past which changed you in some form, and yet you trust, and yeah, I thank you for that. I got something
thank
from
you
your
for
conversation. Thank you so much. I'll continue listening.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. God
Bye.
Bless. Lisa, I think this would be a good time to put out your website.
What? Okay, so you want me to tell them that if you would like to know more about me, you can contact me or look me up on lisadonatella.com. Lisa,
yes.
L-E-E-D-A, Donatella, D-O-N-A-T-E-L-L-A.com. And you'll see links to my books and some of the events and some of the things I've done, a little bit more about me.
Sounds good. Well, should we take another call?
Absolutely. I love this.
Okay. We're going to area code 403. And I'll try to get to you, Diana. I'm letting the other people that haven't called in before. Okay, area code 403. You're live on the air. What is your name, please?
Hey, David. It's Jay calling from Canada.
Hi, Jay. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for letting me be part of the show.
You're welcome. Say hello to Lisa.
Hey, Lisa. How's it going?
Good. Hi, Jay. How can I assist you today?
My question is regarding belief and faith. Are they synonymous, or are they slightly different in how we actually speak them? Because I always hear, like, okay, do you believe in whatever, or I believe in this? So do they have, or I have faith? I mean, are there different, I don't know. What's the difference between both of them?
Well, are you talking about faith in, as far as religion?
No, just faith as in, like, you know, trust, like, not, we always say faith and we always refer it to religion, but I don't think it is.
Okay. Well, I believe in myself. You know, I believe that I am a beautiful spiritual being full of love. And I can relate that to every situation. As I said, when you have a situation, I believe, I have faith that something amazing is going to happen, even though it doesn't always seem that way when I'm going through it. So in that respect, I think that faith comes in into play. You know, I think the word belief and faith are pretty synonymous in this particular example. And people, and I mean, I was brought up in a very religious household, and I'm an equal opportunity volunteer. I volunteer for a lot of different organizations, including the Buddhists and the Christians and a few others as well. So you know, I think that every religion, if you look at it from a point of God being love, then again, I think that belief and faith come into play as well with my theory of vibrating higher, because I think every religion can resonate with being love and having compassion and unconditional and a state of happiness. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I just I'm really curious about that right now. So that's my curious question. So if I can ask another question, David, is that okay? A short one?
That's fine. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, thank you. I just wondered about the practice of what you're saying. We can talk about the knowledge of it, but I always see or witness is that the practice of what we're talking about the practice of being still and the practice of being vibrant or grateful.
Right. And I'm not still. I just want you to know that. I'm not still. I may be in the present, but I'm not still. I'm a little, you know, a little fireball. I'm all over the place. I'm the person who's singing in the morning, you know. I love this time of year because I get to go into the Walmart and I get to actually sing and no one's looking at me like I got three heads. But, you know, when you're in this state, you're just so happy. You just want to share that, you know. And it's like, you know, that sing song, good morning, you know. And people respond to that. So, again, it is a choice, but once you start and really make that choice, it becomes something that you just can't help being, because you're really changing who you are, you know, because you're taking in more of what's external, and I kind of call it the love that you are, that's outside of, that's your higher self, let's call it, and allowing that more of that to come into your this body, versus and by getting rid of the not love that was there filling that space.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, to answer my questions, well, thanks so much for your wisdom tonight. And thanks, Dave, for letting me be part of the show. Yeah, you
You're
too.
Welcome.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you for calling, Jay. God bless.
God bless.
Is it okay if we run just a couple minutes over, Lisa?
I'll stay on as long as you'll have me. How's that?
Okay. Well, then I'm going to go to Diana. Diana, hello. How are you tonight?
Hi. I'm doing good.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you. Say hello to Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Well, that was two things. I was saying to say hello to Lisa, and then I wanted to ask how you were, Diana.
Okay. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm doing good. I won the lotto.
Did
I won
you?
The lotto, and I did not do it the vibrational way because, you know, I studied that matching vibrations, and it does happen that if you match a vibration, it'll happen. But this time, because I've done a lot of removing veils and getting to guides and getting to my higher self and talking to my higher self, I actually just convinced them it was time. I said, you know, I've been doing the vibration thing for such a long, long time. That I just think it's time, you know, and I didn't do anything. Like, usually, before I even get out of bed, I am thankful and I'm grateful, and I say thank you, thank you, thank you as I'm sitting up. And, you know, I learned from Wayne Dyer back in the 90s and that kind of stuff. So I've been doing it for years and looking in the mirror and talking to myself. But I play my tuning forks, and that's what keeps the vibrations higher. So I think my question would be, okay, so I've got the vibration is up by 9:30 a.m. I haven't had nothing to eat or drink. I don't think about that stuff because I'm diabetic, so I'm not going to dwell on eating or drinking until I get hungry and find out what my blood sugar is. So, but that's nice that you get to do that. I used to go for Starbucks right away. But so I get my vibrations up with the tuning forks and being in the middle of my crystal circle, I can't be still very much either. I find it a little bit hard to meditate more than 3 to 5 minutes. But I think that even regeneration and vibrations and everything's happening faster now. Anyway, so how do you keep yourself? You're already up there by 10 a.m. How do you keep yourself up till 10 p.m. to those higher or even higher than that vibrations? What can
I just,
add to that?
I just personally never come down. I don't have to get myself up to a vibration because I'm already there. And it's because I wake up and I just, everything is delicious when I first wake up. Just get, you know, the tools that you're talking about, I love the tuning forks. I think they're wonderful. The crystals are wonderful. These are all beautiful tools, so that you know what it feels like. But once you spend your day doing these little things, you just, you know, even when something happens, it doesn't affect you, you know. So
yeah,
today is a perfect example. I was on the highway when I was living in Arizona. I love this little example, and I have it in the book. And I'm behind. I'm running a little late, and so I'm in the left lane, and I'm behind this SUV with a vanity plate, some sports team. And I'm pretty close to his tail, but, you know, so I'm keeping up with the flow of traffic, though. And I get pulled over by the police officer for speeding. And the gentleman says to me, he goes, didn't you see me? And I'm like, no, sir. And he goes, do you have any idea how fast you're going? And I'm like, no, sir. I thought I was going with the flow of traffic. And he goes, well, you were going 30 miles over, and I'm not sure if you said it was a felony or it could have put me in jail or something. And I just turned white, and I said, and I'm saying to myself, I'm sure something more wonderful will happen. I'm sure something more wonderful will happen. You know, something good will come of this. And then he gets his phone, his call on the radio, and I hear him, you know, some code. And he points his finger in my face, and he says, this is your lucky day. Now you slow down. Mm-hmm. And he handed me back my license and registration. And I took a moment, and then I got back on the freeway, and a mile down, dead stop with bumper to bumper. And I'm like, well, I guess there goes getting back to work on time, you know. And we pulled up, and sure enough, the guy in front of me was in a bad accident, because it was the same guy with the vanity plate who was in an accident, and I was removed from that. I truly believe when you stay in that vibration, your reality is different. Your the world you experience, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we want to use the word sheltered, but for me, just getting those kinds of validation over the years has helped me realize that this state is something that I'd rather stay in than being in a state of not love. That's something else.
Oh, so that's state of love, the higher vibration. I've been removed from an accident before, and I've been like over 95 miles an hour, and they've said, this is your lucky day. We're going to act like we didn't even see you, because it would have put me in a lot of trouble. So both of those things that happened to you have happened to me. So that's like things that happen to us. I was definitely removed from an accident that killed somebody. So it's not always a happy joy vibration. It's a vibration that's going to keep you safe.
Okay. To me, it's synonymous. When you're vibrating there, as I said, what you experience is sometimes a lot different than what other people experience. You know, people think life is hell. I think that life is heaven. So, you know.
Yeah, people think life is hell. Okay. And then I just had one little question. The people that you say hello to, here, I'm in Southwest Florida, a lot of older people. Mm-hmm. Some of them will just turn their head. They're so stubborn, they won't say hello. Sometimes I get the urge to say, oh, we're not allowed to speak today, or something like that. You know, it's something smart ass. But
That's because you're allowing what they're doing. You're reacting to their behavior. And if you're in the state of being loved, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You have to do what gives you joy, and you want to share that joy with others. Whether they respond to it or not isn't part of the equation. I still do it.
Yeah, but most they'll respond and say good morning or good afternoon or whatever. But those that don't and just look away on purpose are the real snobby ones. I always want to say something to them. But I don't. I just, throw rose petals at them or something like that.
I try not to judge anyone anymore. I'm not perfect. But I had a roommate back in the 80s, and she was not a morning person. And one morning I'm like, good morning. And she goes, what's so good about it? And she was angry, and she slammed the bathroom door. And I said, I'm going to get her back. I'm going to make her a cup of tea. So I made her a cup of tea, light and sweet, and I knocked on the door. And she's like, what do you want? I said, please open the door. And I opened it. She opens the door, angry. And I said, I made you some tea. And she just was like, oh, thank you. And I really, you know, she said to me years later, she goes, you know, that one moment really had really helped change me. So you never know. I mean, you never know by love shared through a kind act how you can impact someone's life. So I do it anyway, regardless of whether or not they're snippy.
Okay. Well, I do
That's
too.
That's a great story.
Okay, well, time is up. I better quit talking.
Well, thank you for calling in, Diana, and sharing. I appreciate it, and congratulations on winning the lotto.
Yeah, I won $4,000.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. You deserve it.
A lot of money.
Happy New Year. My goodness, lovely.
Yes.
And I heard Happy New Year in my dream. I heard my dad and my uncles, all that were on the other side, were singing Happy New Year to me. And I'm like, what? Happy New Year. What kind of a new year am I going to have, you know? Like, I don't even know if I'll make it to the end of the month. And they were singing Happy New Year. And 2 days later, I won the lotto. But I had convinced the guy that it was time. I didn't do the vibrational work. I just convinced them that it was time. And it was a spur of the moment click tick. It wasn't even my numbers.
Wow.
26, I think people won. So,
that's beautiful.
So that, yeah, that was, and that was a meant to be. If anybody needed it, I needed it. I mean, I'm working.
I know you did. Oh, God bless you.
I'm going to be kicked out any day from this house. But so now I'm looking for a break to go.
Well, best wishes to you, Diana. And thank you for calling in tonight, hon.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Well, that's an interesting story that you told about your roommate. It reminds me of, you know, what Diana was saying. Reminds me of a time when I ran into a woman in the parking lot, an elderly woman who seemed to be giving me a dirty look. And I said hello to her, and there was no response. But I felt compelled to speak to her. And at one point in my life, I would have thought to myself something very judgmental. And I just said, how are you? And she said, I'm having a diabetic low. And so I said, can I get you something to eat? And she said, no, that's okay. I have a banana. Well, the next thing you know, we got involved in a very interesting conversation. And she was a fascinating woman, a scientist, who I asked to be on my radio show. And if I had made that judgment and not further intrigued her, if you will, then none of that would have happened. And I just felt it made me feel good to make a connection with somebody else. And I think that's ultimately what it's all about, is making connections with others, because so many people lead solitary lives and don't realize that we're all connected at a basic level, that we're all one. What do you think about
exactly.
that? Yeah.
No, exactly. We are all one. We're just, let's call it different representations of that that energy source, you know.
Mm.
Just helping each other. I'm going to call it remember and remember that we're just love, and kind of build on that through experience.
Yes. Well, it's been a wonderful hour, and we could go on, and what I'd like to propose is that we do another show next summer, because I understand you have another book in the works. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. It's a book about a different approach to dealing with workplace stress and workplace stress, office politics, and interesting personalities.
Oh, well, that sounds like a good one. I could have used that book 30 years ago.
It took 30. It's 30 years in the making. From all my corporate experience, I brought it all together, so that that people, you know, we're still playing with the title, but basically, it's about, you know, that taking that higher road and not allowing oneself to become stuck in that drama.
Mm. Well, that sounds like a good antidote, whatever it is that you use. I do want to ask you, while I'm thinking of it, you talked about how you're not a quiet person and that you live in the moment. And I wondered if you had any specific spiritual practices or if it's just a matter of maintaining your level of vibration.
I do meditate. A type A has to meditate, so I do that twice daily.
Okay.
I do do a little bit of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to walk out in nature.
Yeah.
Those are the things that let's call them the practices that I follow. When you're out in nature, it's a free exchange of energy. You know,
mm-hmm.
I live my life for pleasure. Like, I love to ski, and I do, especially now with all the snow we've had up here by Lake Tahoe, but I'm not the person that has to get up and down the mountain 20 times in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe in my youth I did that, but it's more about as I'm going down the slopes, it's more, you know, just experiencing it, and I can feel and appreciating the you know, the nip of my nose, you know, the cold on my nose, and the trees and how the snow on the trees it looks and that sort of thing. It's just beautiful, you know, and to see that beauty. I mean, that's the kind of things I like. When I don't need to run a marathon. I do a nice nature walk or a light hike. If I'm not having enjoying it, I don't do it, you know. And I call them gasms. I find the little gasms in a day, you know, and that makes it for me. You know, and of course, you know, we all sometimes we'll work and do some whatever we're doing in our work. Instead of getting frustrated over the work, if I need to take a 5-minute break just to recenter, I do. But, you know, that's just the way I live, and that's the practice.
I love it. It sounds like you know how to savor the journey.
Oh, I savor, you know, the word savor, you know, I let things marinate, and then I savor the flavor of every experience.
Mm, beautiful. Well, is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
Just, I've been told they're prophetic, but I write inspirational sayings, and if you looked my name up on the internet, you'd find about 2,000 of them, I think, under the images. But a recent one, I was inspired through an exchange with a gentleman in South Carolina. Is this, and it's a beautiful picture of a sailboat, and it's, stop paddling against the current. Let yourself be swept away by life. Live in love like each new moment matters more than the one just before it. Bite into the juiciness. Savor the flavors and the smells. Reach out and reach in and feel, and allow yourself to see for the first time.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Lisa. Would you kindly call back in about 3 months and we'll set up a time for you to be on the show again this summer?
Absolutely.
Okay, and you have the phone number?
The call-in number that I called into? Sure.
No, I'll email you my phone number so you can contact me, and then I'll set you up on the schedule.
Oh, perfect. Okay, that sounds great.
Okay. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings, having a human experience, who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.